Congregation may be seated. Tonight, as we prepare to spend time together in God's Word, I'd like to encourage you to keep your worship bulletin handy. And if you would, go ahead and turn to the back inside portion. There you'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes. If you're in need of something to write with tonight, I encourage you to raise your hand, and one of our ushers will be glad to get something into your hand. We have options. We have pens, we have crayons from the kids' bags, so we'll leave it up to you. But if you need something, I put the onus on you to raise your hand, okay? All right. Tonight, we're continuing with our sermon series focused on the book of Jonah. And last week, we did a brief character sketch, if I could put it that way, on this runaway prophet known as Jonah. What we heard last week, just to catch us up to speed in a 30-second recap or less, we hear that this was Jonah's call. God's word to him was this: Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And we talked about how we kind of lose connection with that. And we talked about how that call to Jonah may be like God's call to you and to me to go to some place where there's a lot of hostility for the Christian faith. Go to Mogadishu. Go to Iran. Go to South Sudan. Go to these places that's hostile to you as a Christ follower. We also talked about there's those calls that God gives to you and me on a daily basis that maybe don't see us going to foreign soil, but maybe going into those difficult situations that God's calling us to go to do the right thing, to share our faith, to change a habit. Maybe that looks like us going towards something, or maybe it looks like us maybe stepping away from something God said, leave that. What we also looked at was Jonah's response. And just like you and I, when we get that phone call from that telemarketer or that company that says, I've got the greatest cruise for you, all I need is your social security number, the name of your firstborn child, photo print, you know, and so forth. Just like those situations, Jonah's response to that call from God was this: I don't want to take this right now. Yeah, nope, sorry, click. And we talked about how can anybody put God on hold or just hang up on him? And then we maybe thought about that more for ourselves. We recognize there's times where God calls us to do something, but maybe we're in that place where Jonah was, where it's like, I don't know if I want to take this right now. Tonight, we're going to pick up with where we left off last week. We're going to follow Jonah as he takes to the water, and we're going to see what happens as he tries to flee from the Lord. But before we do that, I'd like to get your feedback on something. So if you would, finish this statement for the person sitting next to you. And if you're not sitting next to someone, I encourage you to maybe get close to somebody for a brief moment. Don't get scared. For a brief moment, and finish this statement. The last time I got more than I bargained for was when... Finish that statement. What did that look like for you? The last time you got more than you bargained for, what did that look like? Take 10 seconds. It's okay to talk. The pastor said it's okay. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. The last time I got more than I bargained for was when... Some of you are laughing a lot, and I'm thinking maybe we need to have a conversation after worship. That's okay. Okay. I'll just add to our standing appointment, right? Just kidding. I don't know what this looked like for you. I don't know what the situation was like. I don't know the people involved, and maybe that's a good thing, right? If you need to see me afterwards, my door is open to you. For us, it looked like this. I know. Aww. Buddy is the puppy that belongs to my wife Kara and me, and boy, did we get more than we bargained for when we signed up for that little fuzzball. And maybe you've had this experience too. Looks you in the eyes, looks cute, promises not to ever do anything wrong. Think again. Not long after bringing Buddy home, we realized that we had certainly gotten more than we bargained for. For example, he likes to go out when it suits him. Morning, noon, and night. before the sun comes up, before it goes, and so forth. Whether there's rain, shine, you name it. Whether there's a mound of snow on the ground that's so deep, it causes him to bottom out like a car that just won't go over a speed bump. He's got to go. More than we bargained for. The times he races around the apartment so quickly, he doesn't know when to put the brakes on, and he slams right into a wall or right into a door. And then when you open the door, you see this. And I call it his crime scene investigation pose. What happened? Put the pieces together. Solve the puzzle. Sometimes I just close the door. That's nice. Well, I'll see you later. More than we bargained for. And maybe you've experienced this too. The puppy comes up to you with a ball or a bone or something else that he wants you to play with, you know, and to kind of keep your attention on. All the while, he's left something for you beneath your kitchen table or on your sofa or on your chair, and you have about 30 seconds to do something about it, or you're going to have a lot more work later. Talk about getting more than you bargained for. Tonight, as we continue with our look at Jonah, we're going to see this play out for the people who decided to take good old Jonah on board with them. They got more than they bargained for. What we learned last week, once again, was that Jonah turns down the call from the Lord, and he hires these sailors to take him on board their ship. And what you need to know is the Hebrews aren't a seafaring people. So Jonah's putting a lot of faith and trust in these guys. They're going to get him where he needs to go. So he pays the money. He's a paying customer. He doesn't come on board with any weapons or arsenals or armies. He looks like somebody they can take on board. No problems, no questions. We'll take you where you need to go, Jonah. However, what they soon realize is they're getting a lot more than they bargained for. Not only is this a runaway prophet, but he's got the living God breathing down his neck, and things are about to get a lot worse. In fact, they do get a lot worse, and what we see is that the wind starts to pick up, the waves start to rock, and boy, it is not a good situation. If you've ever been on the open water in a situation like that where the boat is going like this and you're going like this, and you're thinking, boy, land looks really good right about now, I think we get a small dose of what Jonah and these sailors were going through. So let's pick it up at Jonah chapter 1, verse 7. To see what's going on with this deadliest catch, if you will, Jonah. Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who's responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What's your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. A moment ago, I asked you to think for a moment what the end of that statement looked like for you to, you know, finish this statement. The last time I got more than I bargained for, and it looked like this for you. But I can't help but wonder if there's been times in your life, just like there has been in my life, where maybe it didn't involve a mischievous puppy. Maybe it was something like this. Maybe it was, I got more than I bargained for when I found myself engaged in a certain conversation or topic, and things got out of hand. Said things I shouldn't have, heard things I shouldn't have, got involved in topics I shouldn't have, and before I knew it, I was getting swept out to sea. That's when I got more than I bargained for. Or maybe the situation looked like this for some of us. I got more than I bargained for on the heels of a certain action or a decision. There was something I knew I wasn't supposed to do, and boy, I ran right to it. Like a puppy going for a milk bone. I went right to it. But boy, was it the wrong thing to do. Maybe it looked like this. I got more than I bargained for when I put myself over the needs and interests of my neighbor. And I think Jesus is pretty clear in Scripture about who our neighbor is, right? you don't know, look to the person next to you, in front of you, behind you. Look to the person you see on the street. Maybe sometimes there's this open door that God gives us for sharing our faith, or maybe communicating to somebody else the love, grace, forgiveness of God for us in Jesus. And maybe we hold on to that for whatever reason. I don't know what it's like for you, but maybe sometimes it's issues of time. I got to get somewhere else in a little bit. I see the neighbor there, but tomorrow. But maybe that person doesn't have tomorrow. Or maybe it's that situation at work. Boy, God put me in this place, and you know, we've been dialoguing, this coworker and I, and I know they verbalized something they're struggling with, and God put me right there to say something as simple as, you know, I'll pray about that for you. But then I said, no. Maybe we got more than we bargained for. How about this? After replacing what God wants for my life with what I think I want, or with what I think I need. Let me ask you a question. Who or what's been pouring into your life this week? Who's been telling you you have to be something you're not? Or telling you you have to measure up a certain way? What's the loudest voice in your life been this week? The voice of our Lord who loves you more than you know? Or maybe something else or someone else. Maybe just as it was with the sailors who realized they got more than they bargained for when they took this Jonah guy on board, maybe we find ourselves verbalizing or thinking out loud something like what they were thinking in verse 11. What should we do to you to make this sea calm down for us? And maybe the "to you" isn't a person, and maybe it's, what do I need to do to this situation to make the waves calm down? What do I need to do to get a little peace here? What do I need to do to feel some kind of empathic response here? What do I need to do to help me out now that I found myself in a situation where I'm realizing very quickly I've gotten a lot more than I bargained for, and this is not a place I want to be? What do we do? Listen to what Jonah says. Lift it up. Take a look back at chapter 1, verse 12. Jonah said this, "Pick me up," or maybe if you need to scratch that off in the first reading in your bulletin, maybe you need to write this, "Lift me up." "Lift me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, singing, "Row, row, row your boat," right? No. But they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. Tonight, friends, I'm here to tell you that you and I have someone much, much greater than a Jonah to look to. Someone that loves you much, much more than a Jonah ever could. And it's not a person, it's not a thing, it's our Savior. It's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before I get to the closing portion of our sermon, let me just ask you this. Tonight, what's on your heart? What are the things that have been weighing on your heart and your mind this week, or maybe even today, that you need to lift up to the Lord? If I could borrow some of the language of Jonah, what cargo do you need to throw overboard tonight? Or what baggage do you need to lift up into somebody else's hands tonight? What do you need to leave here at the foot of the altar tonight? Like I said, we have somebody much, much greater than Jonah. We have someone much, much greater than a runaway prophet who's either half in or half out. We have someone who faithfully stays in the relationship every time when we've given him every reason to leave. Someone who himself was lifted up. And we celebrate his life, his ministry, and his resurrection this Lenten season. Amen? It's Jesus. This is what John records for us. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. And you know this last verse. Let's say this together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Because he was lifted up for you and for me, you and I are forgiven. And the stuff that's been burdening you and weighing you down and holding on to your heart, friends, let it go. Lift it up to him. And whatever you're going through this season, may he lift you up in your storm. May God grant this to us for Jesus' sake. Amen.